Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 24th of June, recording at 9:13 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, the highlights. And as far as stock markets are concerned, it's more of the same, general softness. We didn't have any big declines in here today that I'm aware of, but most markets were down on the day in Asia. Europe seesawed a little bit, mostly in the minus column, and then closed generally soft. Wall Street was weak, quite weak earlier on. Well, I don't want to exaggerate, but the Dow was down over 90 points at one stage, but then recovered and actually moved up 50 points, but then closed down about 35. The Dow and the S&P were down just over 0.25%, so modest gains, but again, this recent trend has been persistent since mid-May, and the NASDAQ closed a little bit weaker than the Dow. The resources markets were also a little bit easier, with the exception of Australia, which had a very modest gain here earlier today. Long-dated government bonds, as you might expect against that weakness, so the U.S. Treasuries and the European government bond markets were firmer. That's prices I'm talking about. Of course, prices rallied. And with the long bond up almost a full point. Now, the dollar, it was a bit easier in here today, but finished well off its lows. At one stage, the euro got up to 156.22, but is currently trading at 155.68. That's up half a cent. And when the dollar was weaker, and it did that again on the basis of weak economic data, the precise news was consumer confidence falling to a 16-year low, and that caused a rally in the precious metals, and gold got up to 894, but then settled back. It's still up over $5 on the day at 889. And what else to mention here today? But that was the main gain I see, looking at the closing prices here on precious metals. And the others were down a little bit, and the industrial metals were slightly easier, but not much, a couple of cents on copper, for instance. Coffee was a little bit firmer in here today. Soybeans and corn, though, were a little bit easier. Crude oil seesawed a little bit. A high of 138.75, low of 135.90. This has been typical of the action we've seen recently, but closing or currently trading after hours at 137.08. That's up 34 cents. Natural gas down a little bit. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, I said more of the same on stock markets. The Wall Street leash effect is the dominant influence here right now, but the same concerns are, for the most part, shared around the world. The price of oil is too high, and that's worrying investors. Generally, high energy costs as a drag on GDP growth. And then the food price inflation. This has been a real problem for quite some time, and just when that was showing signs of abating somewhat, then of course we had the very bad news coming out of the U.S. grain and bean complex growing states. So this is a difficult period in here still. Central banks are for the most part responding by tightening monetary policy in an effort to combat inflation. Now, we've got the FOMC meeting tomorrow. Bernanke has been talking in generally hawkish tones, at least for Bernanke, for a while. But I think there's almost no chance that we will get any kind of rate hike from the U.S. anytime soon. That's a consensus view, and you can never be sure with central bankers. But I think that And Bernanke is well aware that a rate hike at this time would virtually guarantee that the U.S. economy would slip into a recession, which could be lengthy. And as you know, it's been with the help of the weaker dollar and the stronger global economy, which has been a boon to U.S. exporters, U.S. multinational companies, that has helped to keep the U.S. economy out of recession so far. But what's going to happen here with stock markets? Well, sentiment indicators are favorable, meaning that sentiment is very pessimistic, so that's bullish. That's why I not necessarily for today, but that's why I said on Friday that I thought we were probably within a fortnight of the start of a decent bounce. But I also mentioned that we hadn't seen any of the climactic selling that we had seen, for instance, back in January and also in March. And I didn't know what the catalyst was going to be for that rally. And there doesn't always have to be a catalyst, but I think something would have to frighten the shorts and cause a turnaround there. Now, the most influential of the other markets, in my view right now, unquestionably, is the crude oil price. And veteran subscribers will remember that when I talked about things that could go wrong for stock markets, and this was way back from 2004 onwards, I said one of the big three that would worry me, I might as well mention what the big three were. One would have been a dollar going into free fall. That never happened, although the dollar did move steadily lower. But we never had the collapse of the dollar, that at least not so far, and there's no sign of it at the moment. And that's something that had been forecast by many people, but just to say, it has not occurred. The other one. Another one that I mentioned was a real spike in U.S. Treasury bond yields. That hasn't happened either. The third one that I mentioned and said was the most important by far would be a spike in the oil price, and that has happened. And crude oil remains very firm, and you look at the chart, it wouldn't take much to produce an upward break. It is still in an overall upward trend. The support levels have held throughout this trend, and crude oil, as I say, currently at 137, would need to move below the $130 level to give the first indication of a deteriorating pattern, and it would really need to go below the $120 level to indicate a significant setback. Now, what would cause that to happen? If the US were to announce that it was going to release a lot of oil from its strategic reserves, that could trigger a reaction. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they will, and they will do that. At least I don't think the Bush administration will do that, and they'll be in power into January. The other factor would be if the CFTC cracked down on the size of positions that could be held in these commodity tracker funds or held by the investment banks or any other big players on a continuous rollover basis, the so-called investment in these commodities. Now, if that were to be restrained, I think that would knock the oil price back. I've talked about this and written about it in length, so I don't need to repeat all that here. It's on the site if you want to find it. But I think it's ridiculous to say that long-term investment, when you get a big endowment policy money from universities, and we're talking about billions and billions, moving into the oil market and these tracker funds, which are just rolled forward constantly. That has not had an influence on where oil prices are today. But I don't think the CFTC is going to do anything in a hurry. Now, if we get an upward break, and that would be the crude oil price, excuse me, breaking above the $140 level and holding it and advancing from there, in other words, resuming, reaffirming its overall upward trend, I think that would put stock markets in a tailspin, because that would just be exacerbating what has been the biggest problem here, both psychologically and economically for stock markets. And I do think we will get some action on the investment in these commodities at some point, but as I said, it's not a short-term factor here overall. So this is still a tricky period for global stock markets. Say, crude oil's too firm. Central banks are inclined to be hawkish. Many are raising rates. India raised their rates half a point here today. Now, at some stage, we will get this inflationary phase behind us. We will see a setback, a lull in the inflation. Well, I think it'll be more than a lull. I think we'll get a setback. As I've mentioned before, I do maintain that we're in an inflationary era, but the prices are not going to move higher, whether crude or anything else, exponentially. There will be some very big corrections from time to time. And therefore, I regard this as a short to medium term problem, but the important point today is that it does persist. And this is a very, very powerful headwind for global stock markets. Now, when it turns, when that wind turns, no doubt we'll see it. We'll see it on the charts. We'll see it in the form of upward dynamics. But it hasn't happened yet. So we're still on the defensive here in terms of pretty well all stock markets. The best holdouts are the resources, and that's hardly surprising. Look at Rio doubling the price of iron ore to a Japanese customer in here today. And talk about pricing power. That's absolutely phenomenal. As you know, the price has been going up for iron ore in terms of their negotiations. The steel manufacturers has been going up every single year. And there isn't another industry, really, that commands that kind of pricing power right now. But it's really those resources stocks that are the main holdout here overall. And again, I think we may see markets move a little lower before that those sentiment indicators kick in and some sort of catalyst emerges to cause the upper dynamics to produce the next meaningful rally. Long-dated government bonds, meanwhile, are a safe haven while people are concerned about the weaker growth, but the yields are poor. And the real yields are extremely poor. Nominal yields aren't much better. And therefore, I think this is just a temporary technical rally. And the moment stock markets are seen to be recovering, the moment there's a bear squeeze on stock markets and there's some big shorts out there, again, that's fuel for a stock market rally. Short covering and plenty of investors hold loads of cash, but as I'm repeating myself, but the catalyst to cause those shorts to cover and to cause those long buyers to come in is not immediately apparent to me. So long-dated government bonds still a safe haven, but I would expect bond prices to weaken quite sharply when stock markets begin their next recovery. And in terms of currencies, the dollar still has an overall ranging pattern, at least on the U.S. dollar index and against most of its cross rates. But on the dollar index, you have slightly higher lows and slightly higher highs, so a mild upward bias. That's something we haven't seen for really quite a long time, and that does suggest that the dollar could stay in this range for a fair while, and it could also and be a little bit firmer in here, but don't count me in the bull category for the US dollar, because I maintain that Bernanke would be mad to raise interest rates, and I could see conceivably he could get bounced into doing it, but I think that it wouldn't last. The US money supply, M2, has been flat since late April. So that's helped the dollar a little bit in here, but I think that US economic weakness is going to keep, say, short-term interest rates low, and I think it will force the Fed's hand here in terms of allowing a bit faster M2 growth before much longer. So I don't really like the dollar overall. The renminbi is the currency that I would back most on a longer term basis, and I regard the Asian currencies as the most undervalued overall. One can make a case for saying that the US dollar is undervalued against the euro, but of course, dollar revulsion, largely on the part of central banks that hold too many dollars, means that the euro is the reserve currency of default. And what about precious metals? I remain a long-term bull, but they're range bound here right now, although I've been trading the range a little bit. I bought some gold on Friday. That was too soon. It fell sharply on Monday. I bought more on Monday. Bounced in here today. I sold the gold that I bought yesterday. I'll continue to trade it on that type of basis. So I would lighten on rallies and buy on weakness, but I won't have any big positions there. And I increased my coffee position in here a little bit today, and I'm keeping an eye on the corn and soybeans. Highly speculative at these price levels, but I think there will be more problems for that US crop. Now, I'm not here tomorrow, but Owen, of course, will be very much in the driver's seat. In my absence, I'll be back on Thursday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.